Okay, let's begin. Greetings to everyone, and thank you for coming to this special community leaders call. My name is David Olive. I'm Vice President of Policy Development Support at ICANN, and this is a part of our regular consultations with the chairs of the supporting organizations, advisory committees, stakeholder group leaders, constituency leaders, RALO chairs, and because of the focus on making sure that we are planning and making available time for a successful Dublin meeting, we've also asked to invite the chairs of the CCWG and their rapporteurs, welcome the chairs of the CWG and also the chairs of the ICG, many of them who are also maybe mixed in with the leadership of the various SOs and ACs and constituency groups. So with that, I would like to say that we have these regular calls to plan and to help focus attention on the work that we have coming before us in Dublin. And in that spirit, I know many of you are preparing for your groups their programs for the various councils and working group meetings, and therefore the elements of the transition and accountability processes are important to that work and the time for the preparation of that, because many of you have been working very hard and diligently to present views and reports to these groups and in Dublin. So with that, I want to thank you for joining this call, and in the spirit of trying to share information so that we can all have a very successful and profitable meeting in Dublin. That's the purpose of our call today. With that, the agenda is as you see it, and normally our custom is to record the meeting for note-taking purposes, and that is enabling us to share the information with various groups. And so we will be doing that. There is no objection. And secondly, the agenda is on the Adobe screen for those who are not in the Adobe Connect room. It is basically a welcome that I'm completing now, a review and discussion time for transition and accountability proposals by Fadi and Teresa, a discussion of next steps before Dublin or in preparation for Dublin, and then any closing remarks and or communications that we might want to have. With that, we have a few visuals that will help with some of the information we'd like to share. And Susie, would you please put those slides up for us so that we can see them? And with that, I would thank you again, and I turn the call over to first to Fadi for some remarks and Teresa. Fadi, the floor is yours.
Thank you, David, and thank you, everyone, for joining us on this special call that was added to the monthly call in order to make sure we are ready for Dublin. Let me just start by saying that without question, we are all going to the Dublin meeting with great expectations and with a pretty significant agenda that will have pressure on it due to the transition discussions that are ongoing in our community. I think none of us would like Dublin to be remembered as a meeting when our community did not come together and our community did not rise to the critical occasion we have to truly globalize ICANN. The time is tight, and the tensions are, I would say, high right now. And I think as leaders of the community, all of us around this table, we need to be cognizant of that and aware of the pressures everyone is feeling entering Dublin. What we frankly do not want is a descent right from the beginning of that meeting into acrimony and potential accusations given the pressures. People are working immensely hard. I've never seen anything like it in any company or any environment I've been in. It is quite remarkable. The commitment is huge, and the intents are all very good. We are, however, behind. As this slide shows, this is the outcome of some analysis that happened overnight and also in the last few hours here with many of the operational community leaders, including NTIA. We met earlier this morning here in California, and we reviewed the timeline. And as this timeline shows, in summary, there are four options or four possible scenarios being shown here. One where we would deliver our final proposal to NTIA by November, which is right now estimated to be the earliest possible, not even sure it's feasible, or December, or January, or Marrakesh. These are the four different scenarios you see in front of you. Now, what became clear this morning after we reviewed, we have a regular call called Program Facilitation, where the focus is on timelines and deliverables. When we reviewed that timeline, it became clear that if we do not deliver the proposal to the U.S. government by the end of this year, from a simply a practical delivery standpoint, it will be very difficult for us to end the contract with the U.S. government by September 30th, 2016. NTIA chimed in during the earlier morning call today and confirmed that it is very, very much their view as well that they really need to get the proposal by the end of this year, the first of next year at the latest. Now, they're not saying they won't accept it after that, but the timelines clearly show to them and to all of us that if it's not delivered by the end of this year, we are going to be definitely in difficulty of meeting the September 30th timeline. So right now, what is pressing on that timeline is the proposal from the CCWG. And we have with us also the chairs and the rapporteurs from the CCWG so that we, with them, understand the impact on the timeline and what it means to for Dublin and what it means to us as a community entering Dublin with the pressures of what you see in front of you. That is that if we are not able to come together in Dublin and press hard to deliver a proposal to you, the chartering organization, by end of November, because we are guesstimating that you will need a few weeks as the chartering organizations to also review the CCWG proposal and approve it, then we will have difficulty meeting the end-of-year timeline to deliver this to the U.S. government. So these are the pressures that we're feeling, and to have a CCWG proposal ready by November, I will let the CCWG chairs and rapporteurs speak to that, and they're obviously welcome. That's why we invited them to clarify how we can help them. But they have their job cut out to actually, frankly, get this proposal done by end of November, and they have some analysis they're going through right now to understand what it means and what it will take to get it by end of November. Now, stepping back from this, if I can go to the next slide, some of you see here phase three in green. That's the phase of implementation that our team has been building. Here there is some detail on that that our team has been developing. We now have a full program management office set up for the implementation led by Trang Nguyen, who reports to Akram. Trang is dedicated to this and has been collecting in great detail all the pieces that need to be put together, everything from the root zone activities that need to happen to the bylaws, the various companies that need to be built, the various... There's just a great amount of detail on all the implementation of the ICG, CWG, CCWG proposals, CRISP proposals, etc. All of that is built into this quick slide you see here, and there's a great amount of detail being developed behind that. So without going into a lot of detail on this, we can, during the question and answer part of this call, which we'd like to make longer if possible, this data here shows that we will need a minimum of 4 months past the point NTIA approves the proposal, because there are clearly some activities that NTIA is not comfortable with us undertaking until they've approved the proposal. And we went through that with them in great detail, and we now have reassessed how long it will take us to do what they will allow us to do only after approval due to contractual as well as other reasons in Washington. They won't, they have made that clear. Then that's 4 months. And hence the line on the prior slide that shows we need 4 months after approval to get everything wrapped up and done. Next slide, please. Now, this is a slide I had shared with some of you as a result of where we think we are. It's really up to the CCWG chairs to help us and get the support they need to move forward on where we have areas of agreement. But I had built the slide simply on my own, frankly, to start getting a sense of where we have agreement and where we have agreement on objectives but are not yet in agreement on how to implement, or we don't know yet how to implement. And in the areas where we have agreement, I took a stab at dividing these, as you can see, between column 1 and column 2 on this slide, where column 1 are the things that, you know, at least my assessment is we need to get these done to replace the USG backstop role, and column 2 are additional accountability mechanisms that I think would strengthen the accountability of ICANN further. And I think on all of these, pending the GAC looking at their line item related to what is called stress test 18, pending listening to the GAC and making sure the GAC is comfortable with this, we have broad agreement on these areas, which is fantastic. I mean, this is really enormous work and very, very appreciated. The question is, on the areas where we still don't have full agreement on how to implement, what can we do? And this is really the work that we as the community, all of us, should focus on moving forward with. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. And then the final slide, please, and if we could show the full slide. Thank you, Susan. So I do think, in conclusion, at least on my part, and I'm going to ask Teresa just to show a couple slides after me, I would like to say that I believe we have some very specific questions we need to answer so that we can get this transition done. And the first one is to ensure that we have a broad agreement on all the elements the CWG dependencies have put on the table. Most specifically, the CWG, for example, asked for the ability of the community to object or veto to the IANA budget, and so that the PTI has control, ultimate control over the budget of IANA. And I think we have no problem with that. Discussions between various community members, including the board, have no concern at all with providing that assurance to the CWG. But there are other dependencies, and we need to make sure those are answered. And my sense is that on this first question, we're pretty much there. The second question is, you know, do we have broad agreement on the requirements and enforceability of the five community powers? And this is the crux of, frankly, the discussions going on in the CCWG. Do we have agreement on the objectives? Yes. Has everyone agreed we need these five community powers and we need them enforceable? The answer is yes, without question. So it's more of how do we assure everyone they're enforceable that is really now on the table. The next question is really, okay, fine, if we answer positively to the top two, do we have a broad agreement that is consistent with the NTIA criteria? and do they meet, you know, the requirements for a safe, secure transition? And these are two important components here. And I think this is to be tested when we answer the first two questions. It's hard to get to the third question before we finish answering the second question. And finally, when we're done with all the above, I think many in the community who have voiced serious concerns that after the transition we do not have a mechanism to continue evolving ICANN, I think that there has to be, as Byron said on a prior call, Byron Holland, he used the term ironclad process commitment. So I think he's right. I think the community will need an ironclad commitment to continuously improve ICANN's accountability and evolve its governance structure in ways that, frankly, cannot be ultimately blocked by anyone, including the board, in ways that give the community the sense that if they feel that they need to improve ICANN's accountability or they need to evolve its governance structure because its structure is not working the way the community wants it to, the community should have the ability to evolve this. And that assurance, I think my chairman yesterday on an email posted on the CCWG list confirmed that, you know, we can work something along the lines of some suggestions made by folks on that list. So these are the questions that I think remain for us, and I think we're stuck on question number two right now. This is, I think, where we have an issue. And even within question number two, I don't think there's any disagreement on the five community powers. I think there's simply disagreement on how much enforceability and is it assured. And if we can get through that, and hopefully, frankly, before Dublin, but if we can't get to it until Dublin, then be it, then I think we can make great progress. I'm very hopeful. I'm very committed to this, as most of you are, all of you are, in fact, from all my discussions with you. I'm confident we'll be able to come together and answer these questions and move past this important timeline. Teresa, can you now just show us what do we have in Dublin dedicated to all those discussions on the USG transition so that then we can open it up for our leaders here to tell us you know, their views and their input. But let's just quickly see what is happening in Dublin, and then we'll go to all the hands up. If you want to speak, please put your hands up so we can open it up.
Sure, Fadi, I'd be happy to. Could you be kind enough just to post the document that I sent to you with the latest schedule that we have? So we thought that this would be useful in particular for this call and with everybody on it to give you the overview of what currently is in place based on community requests and ICG and CCWG requests around the Dublin meeting and leading into that. The top document just shows you that really the kickoff of events starts on the 16th, so the Friday before, and I understand that everybody involved in the CCWG accountability is, of course, aware of that time frame for the Friday. Moving in through the weekend, and then an ICG working session on the 23rd, so on the following Friday of October. I understand that there's also some side discussions from some of the groups about, you know, some additional meetings, but this is what we currently have per the requests received from the respective working groups and from the community. Susie, if you could scroll down just a tad, a little bit to the calendar overview. There you go. That's perfect. This is go a little further so we can see the. There we go. Perfect. This might be helpful for everybody just to see. Let's go. There you go. Perfect. So this may be helpful just to see from a visual standpoint the blocks of time that have been allocated, again, per the request that we've received, to the work of the CCWG and ICG and related areas around the transition discussion. So as we move into how to look at Dublin and success towards Dublin, both in the lead-up to it and obviously what's scheduled to date, we thought that this might be a helpful overview for everybody in the community to see in one place. So with that, Fadi and David, I'll turn it back to you unless there's any specific questions with regards to the current schedule.
Okay. Thank you, Fadi. Teresa, please, go ahead.
To the schedule. The schedule is up so we can look at it and we can, frankly, address how we're going to make Dublin successful. So if we need, if you need, as our community leaders, to direct the staff and me to change the schedule in any way, this is the time we have set aside also to do that. So why don't we go through the hands up, David, and manage the queue so that the community can start having a dialogue and we can listen and figure out how to support them.
Yes, Fadi, and I will take, please raise your hand in the Adobe connector, let me know, but Mathieu, you're first, please.
Thank you very much, David, and thank you, Fadi, for sparing us a bit of the update on progress regarding the CCWG. I think what I would add to your already very useful presentation, Fadi, is that we need to recognize two things, two core things which are absolutely critical to ASO and AC leaders. Number one, there is a disagreement coming into Dublin on the requirements and enforceability of the five powers that are required by the CWG. This was the second line on Fadi's earlier slide. And that's something we need to work through. I'm hopeful we can, but we need to acknowledge the disagreement if we ever want to bridge the gap. Second very important item, it has appeared very clearly in the course of the second public comment that the board and other stakeholders expressed significant concerns regarding the proposals of the CCWG because the ASO and ACs, as they currently are not perceived as representative enough and accountable enough to the overall global internet community. That was made very clear as a core concern in the proposals, and that was new to the CCWG, actually. We haven't seen that coming. That's probably our mistake. That's also something we need to work through. We cannot pretend to ignore if we want to show a united face to the world who will be watching us in Dublin. Now, in terms of process and how we are getting organized in the CCWG for Dublin, because we're very aware that we are the last missing piece in the transition puzzle, our group is very highly mobilized. There's more than 10 meetings this week, which are intended to finalize the thorough review and due diligence of public comments. We note that we have reinforced engagement of the board in these subgroups, and that's much appreciated. We have a face-to-face meeting on the Friday before Dublin. The Saturday morning is freed for some follow-up work, including breakout sessions if need be, and another face-to-face on the Thursday. We will also plan to be as available as possible to engage in all ASOs and ACs and constituency work. So we have tasked our support staff to reach out to each and every one of you to ask when you would need a presentation, update, or engagement session on the CCWG, and the co-chairs, the leaders of the group, the rapporteurs, or even the representatives will make themselves available as much as possible for that. In terms of timeline, and it's good that we are on this slide on the timeline, our latest assessment obviously shows that the final report will not be available in Dublin, and we are going to be faced with a key decision whether the final report will be close enough to the second report to avoid another public comment or not. In the most favorable scenario, so without another public comment, the fastest we could do would be to deliver to the chartering organization a final report on November the 20th, and that is without an extra public comment. And obviously that means the solution would have to be close to the second report. If not, we are talking about delivery to the chartering organization at the end of January. And I stress that these dates are before SOAC endorsement, and we are aware of the challenge if it is between sessions. So what we are would very much like to see happening in the next couple of weeks, and especially in Dublin, is obviously that we can have some of your time in the SOAC agendas to discuss the CCWG progress. That your groups consider whether an intersessional approval of the final report would be possible and clarify conditions, if that is possible. And also that at the SOAC level, some discussions are made regarding how this whole process is taking place and whether a particular recommendation should be expressed towards the CCWG, towards the other stakeholders, including the board, on appropriate ways forward or the way to make sure the process remains a bottom-up multi-stakeholder and consensus-driven process, which I'm sure we're all very attached to. And finally, we would hope that the board could reiterate its commitment to distinguishing between its role as a stakeholder participating in the process as a stakeholder and its role at the end of the transition process where it might be in position to consider that the ultimate outcome of the bottom-up process would violate the global internet interest. And we would hope that there could be a reaffirmation of the past resolution that was taken at the earliest stage of the process that the world would respect the bottom-up process as long as it was approved by the SONAC. So that's the kind of message that we are coming into this meeting of coordination so that we ensure we provide the right bandwidth on the accountability issues for Dublin. And I noticed earlier in the calls that we had in the transition program facilitation call that a question was raised whether the current planning was dedicating sufficient time and resources for that. And that might be something we need to consider jointly. Thank you, and I'm obviously available for any questions.
Thank you, Mitu. Should we go to Jonathan? Jonathan Robinson, please.
Thanks, David, and thanks, Mathieu. I haven't, my engagement with the CCWG, for I guess obvious reasons, has historically been not, I haven't been very sleeves rolled up. I've been more directly involved with the regular liaison and work with the chairs, Mathieu, Leon, and Thomas. That's been very effective from the point of view of the CWG's work. For equally obvious reasons, more recently I've taken a lot more active interest. And I listened in on the call today, and I didn't actively participate, but was present for the meeting today. And it struck me I left with a couple of key sort of thoughts, and I hope they aren't very obvious to all of you. They certainly seem to be pretty clear to me. That the first was really Mathieu's first point, which is it's quite clear that there is a critical axis of the work is the degree of enforceability which is acceptable. And so it seems that focusing in on that and what is a tolerable degree of enforceability, it's quite clear that if you ask the lawyers what's the most enforceable, they will give you the most enforceable. And it's really a question for the community to decide what is tolerably enforceable. So that seems to be an absolutely critical axis. Second key point that struck me was whether or not we saw this as a one-hit opportunity to enhance and improve the governance of ICANN, and whether or not we could tolerate a certain degree of improvement and how comfortable the community would be with a process of ongoing improvement. Now, I guess anyone, I'm no expert on governance, but anyone you talk to about good governance would say, I would expect that there has to be both best practice, but also a commitment to continuous improvement, because thinking on best practice changes and experience inevitably alters that. So those were the two things that struck me, really, was one, the degrees of enforceability points, and two, the openness of us all to how much needs to be done now and how much can be tolerated to be done and dealt with in the future. And that sort of gave me a thinking around what is the minimum we can get away with, if you like, the minimum viable product or outcome of this work. And perhaps that's something we need to focus ourselves on, because it seems that we are in danger. You know, if you think about the time and you think about, you know, I think in sort of commercial terms of a kind of go-to-market strategy. And if we want to go to market with our transition product, we need the minimum viable product that you know, the customers can accept. And I guess that dovetails quite neatly with what Larry said on the earlier call, which was a requirement for the simple rather than the complex. So I realize these are quite, I'm talking at quite a high level, but those were the points that struck me. You know, seek a minimum viable product that deals with primarily those two key points. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. Steve Crocker, you're next, and I'll then go to some comments in the chat.
Thank you very much, David. I want to touch on two or three things. Matthew, you talked about the enforceability and the difference of opinion there. I think the difference of opinion isn't on enforceability. I think we're actually all in very strong agreement on enforceability, but rather the difference of opinion is on the believability or credibility of the mechanisms for enforceability, which is a important distinction in my mind. I don't think that there is really any daylight at all about whether or not the decisions that have to be enforced should be enforced, or whether or not there's a difference of opinion there. So I think there's room for quite a bit more agreement than perhaps it sounds like. Another element that is hanging over us, all of us, is how complete are the proposals. NTI has made it very clear in the past and again today that whatever proposal is put forth has to be more complete than the proposals that have been seen. I took a stab at asking NTI if they'd be willing to give more details and critique the existing proposals so that we might know in advance whether the proposals that we send in will be complete. And I got a kind of sharp response was, in effect, you guys are adults, you can figure it out. We're not going to do your work for you on a piecemeal basis. But equally in that message was, we're not there yet. So that's another thing that, in my mind, tends to steer us all toward, let's package up what we can agree on, get it to be workable, and it's not just the timeline that is driving, but also, as I said, the question of whether or not it would succeed at all. And then Jonathan has rightly pointed to whether or not this is a one-shot effort or not. ICANN was constructed from the very beginning with constant evolution. We have more and more review mechanisms that have been added to our structure, and we're committed to continuing that process. So I know that it's a strong sense that the leverage of having NTIA make the decision whether to execute the transition or not is seen as the ultimate lever in this. But I really think that that's not the best way to look at this, because there's no way in the world, even if we were all agreed to do something, that we would all get it exactly right. There have to be continuous improvement mechanisms going forward. And that is, I think, a bedrock of how we're constructed. I could offer a couple more, but I think those are the main points that I wanted to emphasize.
Thank you, Steve. Is someone else having their hand up in the chat? If not, we will go to some of the commentary that are in the chat in terms of Steve Del Bianco's comment about the ATRT being put into the bylaws would be helpful to guarantee continuous improvement. There was also some comments about trying to be as simply stated as possible. The underlying requirement for the CCWG was a minimal approach, and that's of course what they're striving for. That were some of the comments that we were receiving in the chat from some of our members here today. Fadi?
Thank you, Mathieu, and thank you, everyone, for the input we've received. Thank you, Jonathan. Let's just then focus on this slide and the impact of this. Right now, the danger is pretty significant, in my opinion, and I, on the earlier call when I wanted to finish by an assessment of where I believe the status of this transition is, I think with this slide and with the understanding of where we stand with the CCWG, I think that we are in kind of bright orange bordering on red state in terms of where we stand on the ability to finish the transition on time for the September 30th end of the U.S. contract. And I think the risks, if we do not complete this transition, are quite significant. They are risks around, and I have a slide, the penultimate slide, Susie, in this deck, is the five risks that I believe we will face. And I think these would be obvious to most of us have looked at this. Susie, if you could scroll down to the penultimate, not the last one, the one before that. I think first we're going to face risks that our own community will start feeling some really pressures on our unity, and we may become more divided if this timeline slips. Secondly, I do believe that the operating communities may go potentially, I mean, these are potential things, and we've heard rumblings of going separate ways, taking John... Postel's dream from day one that the unique identifiers stay together and stay strongly coordinated together into a potential end. The third risk, which was mentioned by Byron Holland on the prior call, deals with the governments spurred by the G77, this should say spurred, not sparred, I apologize, who may lead an effort starting this year during the WSIS review to shift the governance of what we do and of the Internet much more strongly into what would be viewed as a more reliable intergovernmental model. And then fourth, I think we're going to face some risks related to the key economies that we've seen in the last year make significant geopolitical shifts in the favor of ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model and the RIRs, et cetera, and the ITF as being the custodians of what we do. We saw Brazil's shift followed by China's shift, by most recently India's shift. These are very major gains we made over the last few years, a few months, and we do not want to see those slip away. And then finally...
Fadi, it's Byron. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm sorry. I've been trying to get unmuted for a little bit, and it seems it's just happened now. Please carry on, but then I'd like to make a couple of comments.
Certainly. And then thank you, Byron, for joining. I'm sorry about the difficulty with the line. And then finally, I think that we, as the world is trying to figure out how to deal with issues beyond the remit of ICANN and our technical community, I think our failure as a multi-stakeholder community will be viewed pretty harshly for all the other by all the other bodies and all the other people trying to figure out how to bring about multi-stakeholder or governance in general to areas of the Internet that are still to be sorted out. So hopefully these risks can all be avoided or minimized. I don't want to overstate any risks, but these are potential risks that are there. Some of them much more immediate than others, and hopefully all of these certainly will be avoided as we move forward. Now, the questions on the last slide, Susie, are the ones that remain in front of us. And I think that if we do not focus on these as a community, we may face the delays and the risks associated with these. So I'm suggesting that we work together, as Mathieu was very gracious earlier to say, you know, he's looking for any help, any guidance, any support from all of us so that we can support him and his great effort with the CCWG members to actually advance the dialogue towards answering those questions and ensuring enforceability is nailed so we can move past question two into the other question. Byron, we can hear you, so please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Sorry for the inconvenience. I'm just on the phone and I've had a few challenges. But I did want to pick up on a couple of points that I had heard earlier. One in particular around what do we need, essentially, what can we get away with, I think might have been Jonathan's phrase. But really, what do we need in terms of accountability at this moment versus what do we need or want for enhanced governance going forward? And I think it's very important that we distinguish those two things. And while, of course, they're closely related, they are, in fact, separate and different things. You can have accountability like spilling the board as a mechanism, which is completely separate and distinct from the actual governance structure of the organization vis-a-vis who is a member, and how is that power distributed amongst potential members, for example. To me, that's more the essence or the DNA of the corporate governance, which is separate and distinct from accountability mechanisms, as I've mentioned. And perhaps, I think maybe we've heard some potential movement here, there's an opportunity to focus on the accountability mechanisms and recognize that we will have to get to the governance issues at a later date or a second stage, as long as the community can be 100% assured that, as I've said earlier, there's an ironclad guarantee that ICANN will come to those core governance issues in a post-transition world. I think that's one very important thing. The other is around timing, and a couple of points there. One is that an intersessional will be very challenging. We all know that, but one of the concerns, of course, I have is, are we representative of as a community of the global ecosystem? You know, that's its own challenge. Mathieu was raising that earlier. The minute we go to an intersessional, or potentially go to an intersessional, I think we just magnify the perception that maybe we aren't truly representative. And certainly in my own community, it'll be a challenge to have a representative group of CCs in the room for an intersessional. So I just put that out there as a caution. And now I'll go on and say, yes, but even so, I'm probably more concerned about the potential harm that us not getting the job done may have as we enter the WSIS plus 10 period, and what could be made of the fact that the multi-stakeholder model didn't deliver on time by certain actors in the WSIS plus 10 environment. And that actually is probably one of my most significant concerns among all the threads and layers associated with this process. And I think it behooves all of us to keep that in mind as a as another one of the critical dates in the overall process. Thank you, Fadi.
Thank you, Byron. Any other comments or questions from those in the room?
Yeah, David, I would like to just respond a little bit to the good comments of Byron.
Please, go ahead.
Byron, I think what you have proposed is, as I noted in the room, in very close alignment with some of the comments few members of the CCWG have been discussing since this weekend. Central to what you said is the idea that we separate governance structure evolution from accountability improvements that are needed for the transition. And I think some of those comments are aligned with you in the sense that if we can achieve the five community powers and assure the community that they're enforceable in some way, and at the same time, give the community an ironclad assurance that they can move in the future into accountability improvements and even if needed a complete governance structure review, then I think we have a way out of the conundrum we're in now. And I think, you know, cooler minds here need to wisely come together and prevail on how we do this and how we do this quickly. Of course, in a perfect world, we would, between now and Dublin, dig into the most difficult knot we're stuck in, which is the second question here on the slide. How do we assure the community that the five powers that they want, since we all agree on the objective? We all agree on the objective. That's very key. I underlined this five times. We all agree on the objectives of the five community powers and that they are enforceable. There's no disagreement. The question is, can we all get together in the next few weeks and figure out, before hopefully we get to Dublin, it will behoove us, how do we give that assurance? How do we make sure everyone agrees on the enforceability? And then the ironclad assurance, there was a proposal by Del Bianco that he put on the list that our chairman answered very quickly by saying that this proposal to give the community the assurance is a great path forward. So I think we have an answer to that second question. We can work on it with all of us through the CCWG process and hopefully reach agreement on that. Hopefully that would be helpful to get us moving forward at this stage. Thank you, Byron, though this was very helpful, what you shared with us.
Thank you, Fadi. Other comments or questions at this stage?
So do the SOAC leaders want us to keep the Dublin schedule as is for now, is the question. Or do we want to review it, change it? I think earlier this morning, Larry Strickling was, I'm not sure if it's tongue-in-cheek, or he was, you know, asking us to seriously consider making the meeting in Dublin very focused so we can cross these questions and answer them. Do we, at this stage, are we comfortable with the schedule as is, or would you like us to consider any changes to the schedule?
Jonathan Robinson, please.
Thanks. Just a quick response to Fadi's point. I didn't read anything tongue-in-cheek into what Larry was saying. It seemed to be a very earnest appeal for us to take as much time as we could while we were all co-located to deal with what we had to do. And I think Matthew essentially suggests the same or a related point in the chat. It's about arrangements and practicalities and making sure we dedicate the time to
resolve issues while we're all in the same place. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan, and other groups are already pre-planning, if you will, many hours of discussions on this topic in addition to the special sessions and the working group sessions that the CCWG and others are having in Dublin. And so that that is going to be a time. The question would be, is there additional time needed to all that we're planning at this stage? Seeing no other comments or questions, the other part I would like to raise is, should we continue and have another special call like this, either in a few days or just before people are moving off to Dublin for their travels? If this has been a helpful discussion, and we of course will share the slides that you see before you, we could surely plan for this. Maybe either Friday and or next Monday, if that would be a helpful next step as we begin to continue to work with, obviously, the CCWG and their processes and board and other members have been actively involved with that, and we thank their activity and the work that the CCWG group is doing.
So, David, the chat is starting to have a lot of comments that I'm seeing, at least Keith and others, suggesting that if we feel between now and Dublin, meaning the staff, if the community feels that, in fact, we need to focus on accountability, as Larry was suggesting, that we should do so. Jordan supported that and others. However, I don't think we can do this on the fly. May I suggest that staff look at the schedule? We are looking here at where we have discussions, whether it's ICG or accountability. I think accountability is shown in this light cream color. So why don't we just take a look at that and see what other things can be shifted to focus on that, and then have maybe another call before Dublin where we give you options, where you tell us what to do, because I frankly don't think this should be touched unless we have you all in agreement that we should change the meeting accordingly. What do you think, David? Is this?
I think that would be a very good activity for the staff to conduct and provide options, so that as the SOAC and stakeholder leaders are looking at their schedules now, they could come back to us and talk about what more is needed or less is needed. I think that would be probably the best approach forward, going forward.
Okay. Can we, even in the room, have agreement that we try and do a call this Friday, a quick call focused purely on this slide in front of us and maybe a couple of options of shifting things that the community, all of you, can guide us as to what to do with them? Would that be helpful for even a half hour to look at the calendar for Dublin?
I can surely, in sending the slides around to this group, I could form that question and see what might be possible for a Friday call. Again, 30 minutes, maybe no longer than that, so that people can take a look at the options that they might have and discuss those. Maybe if we had that in slightly in advance of the call, that would also help.
Okay. Very good. So let's plan on that, and let's send the slides to everyone so they have a chance to review them prior to the call. And if the staff has alternatives to the schedule slide we're staring at now prior to Friday, I think it would be good if you can socialize these with the group on this call so that we can come to the call with some more information.
Fadi, we have two more people with their hands up. First, Chris Despain, and then Alex.
Thank you, David. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can hear you.
Thanks. Just a suggestion. It strikes me that we might be sensible to try and carve out in the ICANN meeting for the whole community to be meeting on this subject. I see, for example, that there's a CCWG face-to-face meeting on the Friday, and that's fantastic. And I know that people can attend that, but the reality is that lots and lots of people don't arrive in time to do that. So I'm wondering if we shouldn't have a community meeting on the accountability stuff, perhaps for a longer period, and it's currently scheduled on the Monday, when everyone is pretty much there and we can have a full-blown discussion about it.
Thank you, Chris. The concept of a general meeting on Monday when people are there. Alan? We'll see if there are other comments.
Yeah, thank you. Just a quick note. I think we probably need a lot more time in Dublin if we're going to come out of something. I can't see how we're going to go into Dublin, given the few number of days left between now and then, with anything real. And face-to-face, despite all the people who push for remote participation, face-to-face can affect compromises and changes which are almost impossible remotely. But I note that if we do carve out more time, it's going to wreak havoc with the work that the ACs and SOs, and I suspect the board, were otherwise planning to do. So it may well be worth it, but let's understand there's going to be an interesting price to pay if we do, in fact, carve out more CCWG time. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And again, Bill Drake points out some flexibility on either a Monday or a Wednesday that may not interfere too much with some of the existing planned programs, but that may be needed as well. Okay, in this case, any other comments or questions? Body or yes,
yeah,
please.
David, many thanks for organizing this meeting. We'll work between now and Friday to get some alternatives and understand that people are looking for more time, understanding also Alan Greenberg's clarity that we give more time to this, other things will clearly suffer. But again, the priority from this call seems from everyone to focus on how we can support the CCWG to get through a successful outcome. I will also, frankly, given some of the simple analysis we did on this call, because there's a lot more analysis and work in the CCWG process than appears here, but the simple analysis here and the clarity of the message we also heard earlier from Byron and Jonathan and others is that we really need to focus minds on the requirements that would get us through the transition and give people a clear ironclad path towards additional reforms and evolution. If we can strike this balance, would be good. I want to assure you all that from a staff standpoint, we are totally committed to work with the CCWG and with the community to bring about an understanding of how we can move the needle forward on accountability, and I'm committed, everyone is committed to work with Mathieu, Leon, and Thomas, and certainly to support Steve DelBianco and Jonathan Zook and others in their latest proposal in any way we can that may have a solution so we can move forward and arrive to Dublin with. Many thanks for taking the time, and we'll look forward to another short call on Friday.
Thank you, Fadi, and I want to thank the SOAC stakeholder constituency and RALO chairs, as well as our CCWG, CWG, and ICG leaders for being on this call today. And I will be sending around the slides that you saw today, as well as a notice of what might be a good quick 30-minute or more call on Friday to go over some of the options on the scheduling so that we can, as people have made point of, how best to support the CCWG in its final work going forward and to focus on the requirements of getting the transition done and yet guaranteeing the approaches to accountability for ICANN's future. So with that, I want to thank everyone for their attendance and inputs, and please be prepared for some emails from me on documents as well as times for Friday the 9th of October for another call soon. With that, I would like to wish everyone a good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you may be, and we'll be talking to all of you again soon, and please join our next call. Thank you very much.